Now, the reason that's important is, let's say you have a 20% risk of distant recurrence if you do no systemic therapy, and if your estrogen receptor is positive, then anti-estrogen therapy probably reduces that by somewhere between a third and half. So let's say we drop it to 15% with anti-estrogen therapy, and all of us would agree patients should take that. Chemotherapy appears to work across the board by reducing the risk of subsequent recurrence by approximately one-third. That's what the Oxford Overview says. And the Oxford Overview implies that it is regardless of your ER, your HER2, PR, that we've looked upside down every which way we can in the Oxford Overview and have not been able to find anything that is predictive that it works better in this group than that group. So a one-third reduction of risk of distant recurrence when you start out with a 15% risk is 5. It's a bit of an overestimate, and I won't go through all the math of how that works, but let's just take that 5 out of 100 women would benefit from getting adjuvant chemotherapy in that setting. 1 or 2% will have a life-taking, threatening, or changing toxicity. Is 4 or 5 high enough above 1 or 2 that it's worthwhile? And what Oncotype DX did 15 years ago with Soon Paik's original paper and then several subsequent papers. And by the way, now there are several other assays that have been brought into play that the ASCO Tumor Marker Guidelines panel have also recommended could be used. What we find is that about half of the patients who fall into that setting have really low scores, and assuming they get appropriate adjuvant endocrine therapy, then their risk of subsequent recurrence is going to be 2 or 3%, and not high enough above the 1 or 2% that it's worth giving them chemotherapy. On the other hand, if they have a high recurrence score, it looks like that in that case, they've got maybe still a residual 15 or 20% risk of recurrence, even with adjuvant endocrine therapy, and a third of, say, 20% is 6 or 7, and that's probably high enough above 1 or 2 that the benefits outweigh the risk. Still, when the Oncotype DX data were first presented and we had this low recurrence, high recurrence, a quarter of patients still fell into this intermediate score. So as soon as we saw Dr. Paik's data and the NSABP data, we had a big meeting, I'll never forget it, of what was called the intergroup in those days, is now called the Breast Cancer Steering Committee. And we all scratched our heads and said, well, what do we do with this intermediate group? And to his credit, Joe Sperano designed and conducted the Taylor RX trial led by ECOG, but everybody chipped in, as you know, put thousands of patients on that study. And we learned a lot from that study. The first thing is Dr. Sperano and his colleagues in ECOG and at the NCI decided to, I call it frame shift the cutoffs. So the original cutoffs were 18 and 31, and the intermediate group was between 18 and 31. They moved it to 11 to 25. I actually argued against doing that. Joe Sperano and I are very good friends. We've laughed over this for years, but I said, as George Kanellis taught me a long time ago when I was a fellow, you said, dance with the girl you brought to the party. I felt we should stick with the cutoffs we had. But they were concerned about under-treating patients if we weren't careful. And at the time, we didn't know a lot about what we were doing. So we shifted it to 11 to 25. And what we learned was, A, if you're ER positive and node negative, and you have a low recurrence score, and in that case, less than 11, the odds of your recurring, assuming you get appropriate adjuvant endocrine therapy, are 1 or 2% at most over the next 5 to 10 years. That paper was published, again, with Joe, his first author, in the New England Journal 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember how many. And so that validated the concept that if you have a really good prognosis, even if chemotherapy reduces your risk of recurrence, it doesn't reduce it enough to outweigh the possible toxicities. And in my opinion, that's a great benefit. It means we could quit giving chemotherapy to patients who don't need it.